I'm just sensing like the Lord would say to one of you or some of you, even though you know that you cannot be righteous on your own merits, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, there's still so much trying to attain to that on your own, on my own maybe. But the Lord says that your righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. For they did everything right. They did everything right. And still the righteousness was of their own. It was not the righteousness that comes from Jesus. And every time that you think that you are trying to or going to be just so good and just do everything just so right without his strength, that is your own righteousness. It's like the Father is saying today, just learn. No, it's not even that he's saying. He's reminding you to just be intimate with him. Stop all the checklists and the to-do lists, all the things you need to do to be in his presence. He says, just come and be with me. Rest in the righteousness I've already provided through my Son. Do not give up intimacy for doing everything right. Hallelujah. I don't know who this is for, but the Father said that somebody needs to be sung over. So, this is from the Father.
You come to me. Would you please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? I'm going to read a couple of verses to lead into what I want to share with you tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to give you a moment to get there, even though you could probably quote these verses. I'm going to give you a moment to get over there, because I want you to see this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, meaning fully mature spiritually, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Another way to say that would be completely and totally spiritually equipped to do everything that God would want that person to do. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that essentially means divinely breathed forth by God's Holy Spirit, and it is profitable. That means from Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is profitable for me. Now, the only way that I profit from Scripture is to what? Obviously, get into it. And it's profitable for my doctrine, for what I believe, for what I do, for how I act, for what I speak, etc. For reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And, you know, all of these really are self-explanatory. And he's saying here that Scripture is profitable to get me on the right track and keep me on the right track, no matter what. So that I become, verse 17, everything that God wants me to become. Now, this is really important, because as I am profiting in Scripture, my profiting will be known. It's very simple. If I am not profiting in Scripture, that also will be known. Even if I say I'm profiting, what level of my profiting is taking place in me? It will come forth. It will be shown, etc., and so forth. Now, that being said, dear Pastor Martin, I want you to know how grateful I am that God led us to Grace Christian Center. It's amazing to think we've been attending for 10 years now. The way you teach the Bible is so easy to understand, yet so full of depth. I have some questions, and I'm wondering if you can help me. Number one, my elbows have been hurting for 3 years. The doctors have run tests and told me it has something to do with tendons or ligaments or something like that. I've had many preachers pray for me, including you, but they still hurt. I know the Bible says that by Jesus' stripes we're healed, but why hasn't God healed me? What am I doing wrong? Why can't I get healed? Number two, my children are in rebellion. My two sons and two daughters don't want to hear anything about God or church or Jesus or the Bible. I've prayed for them, and other people have prayed for them, but they still live like the world. Why won't God save them? I know they're adults and have to accept Jesus on their own, but why hasn't God saved them? What am I doing wrong? They just won't listen to me. A while back, number three, You would ask me to put toilet paper in the restrooms before each service if they needed it. But last Sunday, somebody else had put the toilet paper in them. What did I do wrong? I think I know who did it. Don't you want me doing things anymore? Are you mad at me? I just don't understand why people don't seem to respect or appreciate me. Number 4. I've been going through a financial struggle for a long time. I don't make a lot of money, but I do try to give as much as I can. I know we're supposed to trust God, and I am trusting Him, but why hasn't He blessed me? Why am I still struggling? What am I doing wrong? Why doesn't God move to give me a breakthrough? Number 5. Something's wrong with the people in the church. Every time I tell someone all about my elbows and how bad they are and how much they hurt, or every time I tell someone all the things my kids are doing and how they are so mean to me and won't listen when I tell them about God, or every time I tell someone about my financial struggles and how it seems like I'm just getting by, no one seems like they want to talk about it. No one seems like they care. Why are the people here like that? Why can't they be more understanding and more loving? I don't mean to be a complainer, but I just need you to help me understand these things and help me understand why God doesn't do anything about all this. You've taught us so much about trusting God and His Word, and that's what I'm doing. I do believe the Bible. I do believe what you teach. And I do practice what you teach us. I just don't know why God isn't helping me. Please be honest with me. Don't hold back. Tell me the truth. Don't worry about hurting my feelings because you won't offend me. I need you to tell me straight up what's going on. Thank you for helping me. God bless, Gene. Now, those of you who attend here, you know that we don't currently have anybody attending here named Gene. And Gene could be male, G-E-N-E, or female, J-E-A-N. So therefore, it's rather ambiguous as far as identity is concerned. Well, dear Gene, thank you for sharing from your heart. It is obvious that these matters are very important to you and that you are struggling, even hurting inside over these things. You've asked me for answers and shared that you want me to be straight up with you and that you won't be offended. Gene, take a hard look at what you've written to me. Every subject you've asked about, I have already taught about more than once. Since you've been here for 10 years, you've either heard all those sermons in church or had access to them at our website. In Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, Jesus tells the story of the sower who sows the word. He said, "The good ground are those which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, receive it, understand it, keep it, and with patience, bring forth 30, 60, or 100-fold fruit." Based on what you've written, you've heard the word, but are receiving it only to the point of agreeing that it is truth. When it comes to understanding it, keeping it, and using patience to bring forth the fruit, that isn't happening. If it were, you would not have expressed so much frustration, hurt, discouragement, and complaining in your letter. I'm not sure why you have identified so closely with putting toilet paper in the restrooms. Whether or not you realize it, you have come to associate your sense of worth, value, and importance with that task. Colossians 3:23-24 states that whatever we do, we are to do it as unto the Lord, and that our reward is from Him. Colossians 2:10 says we are complete in Christ. I'm very thankful that you have diligently seen to it that each restroom stall is supplied with toilet paper. But could it be that God moved on someone else last Sunday to put toilet paper in the restrooms to bring to your awareness how you have allowed that task to be something you are doing more unto yourself and not unto God? What is important is that there is toilet paper in the restrooms, not who put it there. Titus 1:2 tells us that God cannot lie. Galatians 6:8 through 9 tells us that if we sow to the Spirit and not become weary in doing so, we shall reap. In Mark 11:22 through 23, Jesus said that if we have faith in God, we can have what we say. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, we are told that God is faithful. These verses are not reflected in what you have written. In fact, it almost seems as though you are questioning God's reliability. In John 14:27, Jesus told us not to let our heart be troubled. In 1 Peter 5:7, we are instructed to cast all our care on God. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, we are told to cast down imaginations and thoughts that exalt themselves above what God has promised. In Philippians 4:6 through 7, we are told not to be worried, fretful, fearful, or filled with anxiety, that we are to think on the promises of God. In Isaiah 26:3, God has promised to keep us in supernatural peace as long as our mind is focused on Him. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Jesus said we are to live by every word that God has spoken. Gene, your letter does not indicate you are doing these things. In John 16:33, Jesus said He has overcome the world. Romans 8:37 declares that we are more than conquerors. 1 Corinthians 15:57 states that God has given us victory through Jesus. However, your letter is filled with defeat. I would like you to consider the circumstances in World War II. The Nazi army invaded country after country, and it seemed as though there was no hope that all of Europe would be conquered. However, the Allied forces kept fighting back. Allied defeats kept piling up, but they continued fighting. Though it took nearly 7 years, the victory was finally achieved. The reason the Allies kept fighting was because their commanders believed they had a better battle plan and that they would ultimately prevail. They continually spoke victory to their troops, declaring defeat to the enemy. Everything they did was to instill a sense of superiority into the hearts and minds of their troops. Gene, if the Allied army had embraced the mindset you have expressed in your letter, there would have been victory only for the enemy. God's word is your battle plan. It is your weapon. It is your shield of protection. It is your guarantee of victory. In Christ, you are superior to everything about the enemy. The Holy Spirit is your SIA, Supernatural Intelligence Agency. He will alert you to attacks and give you insight to exercising victory. He will share with you the power of Almighty God to overcome adverse circumstances. He gives you wisdom to shut down the lies of all devils. Gene, I'm not trying to be insensitive, but you ask me to be honest, to tell you the truth, and not to hold back. A person truly listening to and applying what is in God's word and what is being taught will not succumb to the emotions and doubt you have expressed in your letter. I encourage you to spend time with God. Sow His word in you with more diligence and intent than ever before. Speak His word into your life and circumstances and praise Him for the victories you possess even before they manifest. May the joy of the Lord be your strength. Pastor Jim Martin. Dear Pastor Martin, I must admit I was somewhat shocked at your letter. I mean, quite honestly, What makes you think you know how much time I'm spending in prayer and in God's Word? Why would you assume I am not accepting what you teach and that I'm not living by God's Word and that I'm not trusting Him? I'm not trying to be insensitive, but could it be that you think you know more than you do? In a way, I guess I'm not really all that surprised. After all, you don't show a whole lot of compassion in your sermons. Too many times we all leave a service feeling condemned and unworthy, like a bunch of failures. I honestly expected a little more support from you, but all you did was criticize me. I can't help it if I'm not as spiritual as you, or that I'm not as much of a Christian as you. I'm trying and doing the best I can. What I needed was your support, not your ridicule. Don't get me wrong, I still love you. But when people ask for your help, you need to do just that, help them, not make them feel worse. Anyway, I still appreciate what you do for us at GCC. God bless. See you Sunday, Gene. Okay, now, how should I reply to Gene's reply? Oh, I'm not asking for your verbal input, but I want to ask this. How many of you can relate to what I've read? Oh, I'm not talking about my response. I'm talking about what was written to me. I'll answer that question for you. Too many. Far too many. Because you see, what I've done in this letter is kind of put together a summary of things that I have been asked over the years and ways that I have been criticized. I have not made this up other than to summarize and to use a very ambiguous name for the author. Because you see, all too often, I am approached by people expressing some of the exact same concerns. Why doesn't God do anything? I am trusting Him. The blunt, honest truth is, no, you're not. Not the way you say. Because people who are trusting God are not complainers. Now, it's critical to note in this letter that I've summarized. This person says they've been attending for 10 years. Well, it could be 12, it could be 8, it could be 15, it could be 18 years. The point I'm getting at is the answers to all of this and more have already been taught, and the way that I teach, the way that I break down Scripture, detail has been given. And if you weren't here to personally hear the sermon, they're available online at no charge. Nearly 2,000 sermons are online. A great many of the subjects that a person could be interested in are covered. And yet, repeatedly, and I do mean repeatedly, I get these questions about various subjects with why isn't God doing anything? Why doesn't God whatever? And then turn right around and tell me how, well, I am trusting God. Well, I am applying what is taught. But see, you aren't. I mean, to whoever it would apply to. Because a person who writes a letter like this, or somebody who comes up with these kind of questions, they're telling me, I'm trusting Him in word only, but not out of my heart. I'm glad I'm here, but I'm not applying what I'm taught. I'm flat out not doing it. Because see, if you were, for example, Isaiah 26:3, you know, God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth thee. Okay, see, if your mind is stayed on him, you're going to have that perfect peace, and you would never, ever, ever in a gabillion years write a letter like this. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't be saying, why doesn't God do? What am I doing wrong? Why isn't this happening? And yet repeatedly, that is what I hear. And it is inevitable. I would say at least, well, no, let me be vague about this. It could be that at least once a month, somebody comes to me like this. And I'm not, again, as I wrote in the letter, I'm not trying to be insensitive. I'm really not. What I'm trying to do is point out there's a whole lot more to living by God's word than just saying I'm living by God's word. And this part here at the end, you know, where I wrote back and I said, you know, Gene, I'm not trying to be insensitive. And then that person writes back to me and says, I'm not trying to be insensitive. This have people turn this back on me. They're mocking me. Now, I'm not upset. But this person, Gene, yeah, they're offended. Because all too often, when people come to me with these kind of questions, you know, and they tell me, just tell me, okay? Just, you know, just let me know, please. Just tell me the truth, Pastor. Just tell me the truth. And, well, okay, if you want to, here it is. Here's the truth. Oh, no, that's not right. I am whatever. It's like, no, you're not. Because if you were, you wouldn't be standing here asking me. If you were, you would not be constantly complaining about the same thing. Now, one of the reasons I know all this is because I used to be that way. I used to be a bellyacher. Out of the fruit of my mouth was, why God isn't? How come He's not? When is He going to? And I completely ignored the fact that He already has. That I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I've inherited everything that's in Scripture. So I can't say God hasn't. What I can say, I haven't appropriated into my life what He has promised. That's what I can say. And I finally came to the place of understanding that. Well, it took a long time. But when I finally got to the place of understanding that, I realized, well, there are no excuses. I can't say God isn't moving. You know, hear this thing about the elbows. Well, it doesn't have to be elbows. It could be your eyes. It could be your ears. It could be your feet. Pick a body part, all right? And I know the Bible says that by Jesus' stripes we're healed, but why hasn't God healed me? I've heard that so many times. No, you acknowledge that it's written in Scripture, but you really don't know this. You really don't. Because if you did, you wouldn't be talking about your physical problem. You'd be talking about your victorious healing. That's what you'd be talking about, even before it manifests. I praise you, God. I thank you, you know, that my, well, elbows, I call them healed. Elbows, you're healed in the name of Jesus. And just like the example I gave about, you know, World War II is about 7 years before finally, you know, the Allies won. Well, you know what? It might take you 7 years. It might take you a year. It might take 4 years. I mean, I don't know. But you can't give up. You can't stop. Because the moment you stop and start complaining, you know, you're yielding ground to the enemy forces. That's why if you really believe this, if you're doing it, then you know what? You're going to do it. You're going to be diligent. The thing about, you know, my children are in rebellion. You know, I know they're adults. They have to accept Jesus on their own, but why hasn't God saved them? I've heard things like this. And see, when people talk this way, I just stand and I listen to this, and it's like, you do not understand what you're saying, do you? You're contradicting yourself. On the one hand, you say, I know they're adults, they got to accept Jesus on their own, but then you turn around and say, why hasn't God saved them? Well, it's because they're adults and they have to accept Jesus on their own. You just answered your own question. You should know this. But see, they're a house divided. You know, and it sounds like, you say, well, you know what? Good old Gene got it right there at the end. You know, when people ask for your help, you need to do just that, not make them feel worse. You know how you're making me feel right now, Brother Martin? Like a, what was it Gene said? Condemned, unworthy, and a failure. Now, hold on. Seriously? I'm making you feel like that? Or is the truth cutting? And that's usually what it is. Because I just tell you right now, you know, where good old Gene says, you know, I was shocked at your letter. I mean, quite honestly, what makes you think this, that, and the other? Wait, hold on there. You told me you weren't going to get offended. You got offended. And again, guys, I'm just repeating what I have experienced here. You got offended. You told me you wouldn't. You lied to me. Why'd you lie to me? Now I'm offended. No.
Trying to lighten it up a little bit here, okay?
But see, when people come to me and they start saying these things, you know, like the toilet paper thing. Now, see, that's just, I mean, okay, toilet paper, that's an example. You know, I've taught on this before about, you know, if you have something to do and you're doing it and then for whatever the reason you're no longer doing that, where is your identity? Is your identity in, well, I've always planted the flowers out front and now you don't have me doing it? Well, what's the matter with you? Don't you know that's me? No, you are a child of God and you need to grow up and get over your stinking self. Because the moment you identify with your task is the moment you're moving away from identifying with Christ. I've always been the trumpet player in this church. And now you got somebody else coming in and you're telling me that I only get to play on Sunday nights and the other person's going to play on Sunday mornings? What have I done wrong? Well, you know, who do you think you are anyway? Don't you know I blow my trumpet for Jesus? Well, I mean, I thought you did, but now I'm starting to wonder. You on Sunday morning were the more people here, right? All Sunday night, not as many people here. So, you know, not as many people going to hear you toot your horn about how you toot your horn. And people get offended, and I've taught on this. I've shared how that, you know, if you're the trumpet player, and I just use that as an example, but it could be anything, you know, singer, you know, violin player, I mean, whatever it would be. You know, if you're the such and such, and you're not doing it anymore, are you strong enough in the Lord? Are you confident enough in who you are in Christ to where you can let it go and still retain the joy of the Lord? Can you do that? And I'm telling you right now, my experience is that most Christians can't. They can't. They get offended. Why? It's because they wrap their identity and who they are in what they do before others. Because if you were doing it as unto the Lord, it wouldn't matter who saw you, and you would rejoice that a task gets done, even if you're not the one doing it. But yet, you know, Gene got upset. You know, that whole issue with, you know, somebody else doing the toilet paper, I mean, that wiped her out, bless God. Glory to God. That was a good one, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. You're on a roll, Brother Martin. Oh, Brother Martin, get a move on. All right. The thing about the financial struggle. Why isn't God giving me a breakthrough? Well, what do you know about Scripture? Well, I know God gives us breakthroughs. Yeah, but what do you know about the Word of God concerning how you get a breakthrough in your finances? What do you know? As much as what's been taught over the years, here, what do you know? You have no excuse, none. Because of all the teaching and all the word that's gone forth, not just from me, but the people who stood behind this pulpit, you have no excuse. None. Well, Brother Martin, you just don't have any compassion. I do have compassion. Why? Listen, get in Scripture and read how Jesus read the religious leaders the Riot Act. And they weren't even Spirit-filled, not even born again. But why did he do that? Because they knew the law, and they couldn't handle being corrected through the law. They didn't like it. You know, who are you to instruct us? Who do you think you are? Like, well, how about the Messiah? You know, I mean, How about the Word made flesh? And you don't think I know what's in that? They got offended. And he really got on them. Well, guys, listen, we're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, got a Bible. And after all these years, why are some of these things still issues? Why? It shouldn't be. You know, what's in the Word about, okay, if I were to hand out a piece of paper and say, okay, right now what I want you to do is write down four passages of Scripture that deal with God blessing you financially. Write down four. Could you do it? Well, let me see here. Luke 6:38. That's what I thought. Could you write down four? And I don't mean you have to get it word for word. You understand what I mean? Do you know that there are four? Do you know that? Well, I know like Psalm, I don't know, it's like Psalm 12:17 or I don't know. But I know that it says, you know, the young lions lack and do suffer hunger, but they that trust the Lord shall not want any good thing. Okay, yeah. See there? But do you know four? What about healing? How many do you understand about healing? And what about the thing, you know, the children? Well, I know, Brother Martin, it says that as long as I trust God, that I and my household will be saved. And what does that mean? Well, it means my kids are going to be saved. Is that what it means? I've taught on that one. And that is not what it means. Because you have to, by yourself, make your own profession of faith in Jesus Christ. My profession of faith in Jesus Christ does not get anybody else on planet Earth saved. It does not do it. They have to make their own profession. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, something's wrong with the people in the church. Every time you start complaining, every time you start expressing the fact that you really don't believe God or really don't believe His Word, even though you say you do, every time you start trying to find somebody to come into agreement with you, that things just aren't working out, every time that you express, I don't know why God isn't, I don't know why God doesn't, I don't know why God, and folks don't seem interested in hanging around and listening to the conversation, I don't blame them. Because, see, you're not speaking in line with God's Word. You're speaking in line with the lies of the enemy. I don't know why God doesn't. He is. He has. He never leaves. He never forsakes. He's not here for me. Yeah, He is. And this all goes back to people that'll sit and they'll listen. And listen, listen, listen. Like, yeah, man, what a great sermon. Boy, praise God, that was a great message. Man, I really like that. Boy, oh boy, that was excellent. I might have to listen to that one again. Okay, praise the Lord. Yeah, but what are you doing with it after the fact? See, I am guilty of this myself in that I don't worship as much as I should. I don't fast as much as I should. I could spend more time in prayer. I could spend more time confessing the Word of God. But the one thing you're not going to do is hear me fussing and bellyaching and asking, you know, why isn't God? Why doesn't God? And I'm going to stand up here and deliver some kind of a sermon and tell you something like, well, God just does some of these things. You know, we don't always understand why. But, you know, sometimes healing is delayed. Sometimes God has to let our children go through a wilderness of sin so they'll appreciate their salvation more. That's the stupidest. But this is the kind of stuff that people hear, some people teach, and some folks believe. And the reason is because they don't know the Word of God. You can read it. You can say, this is the Word of God. It's true no matter what you think. And praise God that you at least have that much down. But if you don't apply what's in here and you're not living it, then you're not living it. And remember what Jesus talked about, how that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks? Well, I want to add something to that for the sake of this message. Out of the abundance of the heart, the fingers tippy-tap on the keyboard. You understand what I mean? Oh, yeah, constantly. And what even complicates it is that there'll be sermons, and I identify issues, and I clarify them with Scripture, and as soon as the sermon is over, somebody somewhere, somehow, you know, Gene comes to me and starts talking opposite of what was taught. And I'm thinking, okay, you sat there through the whole service, you followed along in Scripture, I thought you were paying attention. It looked like it. How can you come up afterward, and even though you don't mean it like this, you're refuting what was shared? Why are you not receiving this? Well, what happens is you have some folks, they've been in church for so long, they're people they know who kind of esteem them as being further along in God than what they really are. And so because of that, and the fact that they're not in sin, and you know, they don't cuss and things like that, and that they love the Lord, and they do, all right, that's not the question. The love is there. But they're not as far along as what they think. And it's difficult for them to receive correction. Because there are people, okay, let me say it like this. There are some folks, over the past 20 years, it's very possible they've left this church because they couldn't handle the correction. Now, what do you want me to do about that? I am not going to come into agreement with Gene's letter, no matter who writes it, and no matter who expresses it. I'm sorry, I'm not. And you want me to help you feel better? I did what I could to help Gene feel better. If you notice, and this is typical, Gene wrote no scripture. Oh, there's a reference. I know by Jesus' stripes we were healed. All right, but what did I do? I pointed Gene back to the Word. Verse after verse, chapter after chapter, it's in my reply. And when Gene wrote back, I was shocked at your letter. No reference to having studied these things out. This is the pattern I experience over and over. At least Gene could have said, well, thank you for the verses. No, that's not in there. No, instead, you know, what makes you think you know how much time I'm spending in prayer and God's Word? Your letter. What you wrote to me. What you express. You know, your brain's all fried because you don't get to play with the toilet paper in the bathroom. Come on, man. Grow up. Rejoice that there's toilet paper in the bathrooms. Everybody else is. They don't care who put it in. They're just glad when they sit down and look over. Hey, glory. Toilet paper. And this whole thing about, well, you know, we all leave a service. That generalized, all-inclusive statement, I've heard it. Feeling condemned and unworthy. Now, before we go any further, please don't think everybody and their brother in here is a bellyacher. They're not. Okay? I'm talking about isolated situations. But what I've shared with you, this is the pattern. And people say they believe God, trust God, believe His Word. I'm living by the Word. But if you were, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. But you're letting your heart be troubled. He said, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. I'm giving you supernatural peace. Well, okay. If it's there, you're not going to be a complainer. You will not be a Gene and write this. Or speak it. You just won't do it. Instead, you'll be rejoicing. I know God is moving in my children's lives. And I know right now, when you look at it, it may seem like that they're in total rebellion to him and everybody else and me and everything. But I'm telling you right now, God hears my prayers, and I know that God is moving in the lives of my children. I know he is. And the moment they open their mouth to profess Jesus as Savior, before they finish the sentence, they're going to be born again. Because God's right there listening for that prayer. See, that's what Jean should be writing. But that's not what she's writing. She's blaming God. He's blaming God. Why isn't God? Why doesn't God? That's what it really comes down to. God, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And how do you know that? Have you ever considered the fact he's trying, but you've become the stumbling block? You are your own worst enemy. Who, what was it, Pogo? They said, we have met the enemy and he is us. So, okay, yeah. That's what's going on. And see, guys, I'm just sharing with you some of these things. I mean, what I've shared with you tonight from the Word of God here in this, you know, the Bible, my letter to Gene is a letter to me, and it's a letter to you, all right? Here's what the Word of God says. Here's what the Word of God says. Here's what Jesus said. Here's the truth. Here's how it's supposed to be. But according to this letter and what a lot of people speak, that's not what's going on. But they'll maintain they are living by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit. So therefore, what fruit are we bearing that indicates what kind of tree we are? Are we a doubt tree? Are we an unbelief tree? What are we? What kind of a tree are we? A complainer tree? Because see, when we are truly living by the Word of God, there are going to be battles to face. Every one of us in here right now, we're facing a battle. I don't know what it would be. Physical battle? Job battle? Money battle? Family battle? I don't know. But every one of us in here, I mean, there's something going on that we need to address. Maybe we're battling depression. All right, well, that's a battle. But yet the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I need to declare what God has said about me if I want to see what God has said about me manifest in my life. Every one of us, you know, it's funny how every now and then there are people that will come to me and they start talking. And all of a sudden they realize they're starting to become a gene in what they say. And then it's like they slam on the brakes, put it in reverse, back up, and try to start over again after 5 minutes of all the belly aching complaining. And I just stand there and listen. But they caught themselves. Well, you know what? If you're living by the Word of God, you're not going to have to put it in reverse. You may have to re-explain, but you don't have to, you know, start over again because you're talking to me. And you know I'm listening. I might be listening to your mouth, but God's listening to your heart. And you know, every one of us, we do go through challenges. And every now and then, guys, let's face it. We are, you know, we face that what you might call like down in the dumps kind of a thing. But yet, the answer is in the Word. The answer is in the Word. There have been so many times over the years when people... Well, so many, I mean, that's always a relative term. But there are times over the years when people have come to me and, man, they just want to fuss, they want to complain, and so on and so forth. And I look at them, and I ask them, okay, now, before you came to me to say all of this, what did God tell you when you prayed about it? And then they get this kind of funny look on their face. It's like, okay, yeah, I know. You didn't pray about it. Because if you'd prayed about it, you wouldn't have come to me with all the belly aching and complaining. You wouldn't have done it. It's one thing to share a concern, okay? But all too often, that concern, it's a gene letter. Okay, so, you know, what are you getting at? What I'm getting at is, don't be a gene. If you think that you're living by the Word of God the way that we're supposed to, listen to what comes out of your mouth. Not just here. I'm talking day in and day out. Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Does it line up with what God has already declared in His Word? If it doesn't, then rethink your approach. Because death and life are in the power of the tongue. And even though Gene didn't verbally speak these things to me, the power of the tongue of her fingers, you know what I'm talking about. She is declaring death, figuratively speaking now, into her circumstances, into her life. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to live like that. I want to be what God wants me to be. And that requires me, my life, my beliefs, my everything, my speech, all of me, to line up with what God has already said in His Word. To not take offense, no matter what. To not take offense. The closing part of Gene's letter, you know, where she turned this thing back on me, where he was saying those terrible things about me. You know, you don't care, and you just make us feel bad, and blah, blah, blah. Do I have an opportunity to take offense at that kind of stuff? It's happened. Well, sure, I have the opportunity. But here's the thing. The flesh wants to say, get mad, get upset, and just say some nasty words. However, I recognize that what's being said, that's not coming from the Spirit of God. That's not coming from the born-again life in a believer. And listen, guys, it took me a while to get control over feelings. But now when these things happen, yeah, the feelings just say, hey, I'm back. It's like, yeah, well, you may be back, but, you know, you keep a knocking, but you can't come in. And I'm taking authority over this. You know, Father, move in their life. Father, help them understand. Father, help me understand. And I say that these feelings of inside of me, I cast them down in the name of Jesus. I do not take the thought of this. And I rejoice in Jesus Christ and so on and so forth. It's how you win. You know, like that song, this is how I fight my battles. All right, glory to God, this is how I fight them. And I win, glory to God. I win because it's the Word of God. I don't lose, I win. Praise the Lord. So guys, take this to heart and don't think that I'm pointing my finger at him and her and her and him and don't and you out there. Don't think that, all right? Because this is a summary of so much that has happened over the years with so many different people. Don't be a Gene. God is whatever it is. He is. He's moving. He's doing. He has done. Get into the Word like never before. Don't just be a hearer. Be a receiver, understander, keeper, and a fruit bearer. Praise the Lord. Because God can't lie. Thank you, Jesus.